All right. So, would you mind opening your Bibles to 1 John? We're going to begin chapter 4 this week. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Some of the things that we're going to look at, we have heard before throughout this lesson. It's a repetition, which is an emphasis of the things that John wants us to know because they're important. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming. And now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So, of course, you are already aware, you know, that we live in a time where people are adamantly trying to live a reality based on lies, based on a fantasy. The truth has been, quote-unquote, redefined, and God's very existence is being denied. There was a time, not very long ago, where it was a fact. It was a given that God existed. We're not in those times anymore. You know, his existence is nothing. It is not for sure. It is very questionable. And the reality has been distorted in order to fit the view of a few people, and this new reality is adjusted so that the wicked can have it their way. There are thousands upon thousands of people that are willing to accept this new reality, these issues with sex fluidity and more than one gender, and be whatever you want to be whatever makes you happy. The denial of life at conception. A fetus is actually not a person. It's just a bunch of tissue. Life is not sacred because if there is no God, there's no sanctity of life. There are no absolutes. Everything is relative. Your truth and my truth might be something completely different, but there's no way of telling, and so on and so forth. There's a huge list of wrongs going on in our world today. So these people that are believing these new ideas or these new teachings, they're willing and ready to be deceived in order to satisfy their desires, in order to appease their consciences. And they would much rather be deceived and remain in the comfort of their sin than actually believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be delivered from that sin. So these people want to do whatever it takes, and they are willing to accept whatever it needs to be accepted and believed in order to remain in that darkness, in that sin that makes them feel so comfortable. And these people, they want to believe anything, except, of course, the gospel. And consciously or unconsciously, they're presenting themselves as Satan's servants. That's what they are doing, whether they know it or not. John chapter 8, verse 44 speaks about these people and of Satan, where the Lord says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This is the pattern that the majority of these people that I'm telling you about, the majority of the people around us, this is the pattern that they're following. They are following the desires of their father, which is the devil. They are not from God. And Satan's lies have captivated vast numbers of people, but a lot, many more than you can imagine. So he has deceived them. He has made them believe a reality that is not reality. And you might wonder, well, how is this possible? How is it that these people are deceived and we are not? How is that even possible? What makes us different? Well, the answer is this. Christians are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in each and every one of us that have believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So the Spirit helps us understand truth and discern from error, and the Spirit also protects us from Satan's lies and deceit. That is the difference between them and us, is the one who lives inside us, which is God. And make no mistakes, brothers and sisters, even though Christians have a powerful protector in the Holy Spirit, we are still prone to be deceived. Do not make the mistake to think that just because we're Christians, we cannot follow the wrong path, we cannot believe the wrong ideas. Matthew 24, verse 24 says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect," which is you and me. We are prone to be deceived. So we need to pay attention. We need to guard the truth closely. We need to know it because we are not infallible. The enemy, which is Satan, is powerful and he's dangerous. And the danger that he poses is real, is very real. Do not miss that. So John begins this chapter 4 saying, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So let's remember that at the time that John wrote this letter, there was a false teacher and his followers in this church, and they claimed to be walking with the Lord. They claimed to be in the light, and this teacher might have claimed to be very spiritual and have this transcendental knowledge that put him above sin, and therefore he had no sin. Sin was not a problem for this false teacher, and he was deceiving people. People believed him so much that these claims were impressive, and a few individuals went with him, following him, and there was a church split. These people believed in this guy. He impressed them so much that they decided to follow him wherever he went. So there was a church split, and as you can imagine, those who remained in the congregation, those who remained faithful, they were hurt, and they were confused, and they had many doubts about who's telling the truth, these guys that left or us that stayed. I mean, so all of these things are conflicting in their minds. So John wrote this epistle to reassure these believers of their salvation and also to protect them from these false doctrines that this guy was introducing to them. So what we see here in this verse is that John believes wholeheartedly that all teaching, whether it's true teaching or false teaching, all teaching has a spiritual dimension, has spiritual implications. This means that true and false teachers are inspired by a spirit. Every teacher is inspired by a spirit. On one hand, we have genuine orthodox teaching that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And on the other hand, we have false teachers who are following the spirit of the Antichrist. Satan is the motor behind them. So with this in mind, it must be obvious at this point to see, to understand that not all teachers can be trusted because some are led by spirits that do not come from God. So I need to say this again. Not all teachers can be trusted because some do not come in the name of the Lord. And that is something that we need to remember throughout this lesson. And unfortunately, this is not a hypothetical scenario. This is a real danger. This is real. This exists today. It's a very serious and urgent matter because John says that many false prophets have gone into the world. And Satan, we know, is behind them all. And even worse, these false teachers, these demons, they're everywhere. They're living right next to you, going to the same schools, working with you, socializing with you. They're everywhere. You see them on TV, you listen to them on the radio, music, you name it, everywhere. So they're in the church. Do not believe for a second that just because you're in this building, you're absolutely safe from that. You're not. They are everywhere. Everywhere means everywhere. So as a result of all this, compromise and error are rampant. And you can see that too, even within Christianity. There is a lot of error everywhere. So what does this mean to you today? What does it mean for us? Well, what this means is that we must be very careful to test. We must be careful to examine every spiritual message we come across. We need to be very judicious in the things that we read, in the things we listen to, in the things that we see. Because Satan mixes truth with error, because when this mixture of things, he's more effective and more destructive than just confronting the truth head to head. And if you are not aware of what's true and what's not, you're going to drink the Kool-Aid that he's going to give you. So what Satan does is that he infiltrates the church, and what he's trying to do and what he has done in many places is to deceive many with this very subtle error. And they don't even know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, it says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. It is in the scriptures. He's going to come and present himself to you as something he is not. And so are his followers. So you cannot just believe whatever you hear. You cannot believe just whatever you read without actually paying attention to it and have some discernment. So as Christians, it is our duty that when we find something that comes across our way, we cannot believe in it because we say, well, we heard it on Christian radio. Or I saw it at a Christian store. That is no guarantee. And if you have ever set foot in a Christian store, you know that there's truth and error right there in the same shelf, you know, one next to the other one. So we cannot believe a message just because a famous or influential preacher said it. So if Dr. Johnson said something, if Dan Duncan, John MacArthur, Steve Lawson, Mark Dever, whomever you admire, you don't just take their word for it, myself included, of course. You and I have the responsibility to exercise biblical discernment, and all these great men of the faith will tell you exactly that. You don't believe the things just because I am telling them to you. You need to go and check. Because Satan will disguise as falsehood, and he's going to disguise himself as truth by putting lies in the mouth of someone who claims to speak from the Lord. Now, of course, I'm not saying that these men are speaking, you know, in the name of other person that is not God, but we still need to check. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 17. He said, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorns, bushes, or figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. So we need to exercise biblical discernment. But how do we do that? How do we exercise this discernment? Well, the way we do it is by comparing what we hear with what we know from the Bible. This means that we must listen very carefully. We must evaluate the message and the messenger against the scriptures. And this is exactly what the Bereans did in Acts 17, verse 11. That says, now these, referring to the Bereans, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And what this is saying is that these Bereans received a message from the Apostle Paul himself, and they don't just believed the message just because Paul brought it. They still went and examined the scriptures daily to see if Paul's message was actually true. So these Bereans knew that the scriptures are infallible, but men are not. And they knew that the scriptures are true, but they also knew that men are deceitful. So going back to my example, when I was saying that not because I say it, or Johnson, or Duncan, MacArthur, whomever, this is what the Bereans did to Paul the Apostle himself. I'm going to check. And that's what we need to do. It's not a disrespect. And ultimately, your respect is not to me, it's to the Lord. So if I made a mistake and you don't catch it, I'm going to be responsible for it, but so are you. Like these Bereans, let me go check. Oh, great. Look, this he's solid, man. He's staying to, you know, true to the text. That's what we need to do. That's how we exercise this discernment. Everywhere, with everybody. It is just a good practice. Verses 2 and 3 say, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. So beginning in verse 2, John tells us about a test that is going to help us distinguish whether or not a teacher comes from the Spirit of God. And this test is a Christological test. It is a test that is based on the doctrine of the incarnation, which is essential to the Christian faith. It is essential that Jesus Christ was born from a virgin and had a human body, a true flesh, with a rational mind. And he was a man and still God at the same time. This is essential to the faith, the doctrine of the incarnation. And this doctrine of the incarnation is not a secondary thing, is not optional. Therefore, to confess this doctrine is everything. It is the most important thing. So this Christological test that John is telling us about consists of only one question. It's just one. It's very simple. And the question is this: what does this teacher, what does this pastor, how this minister, what does this teacher teach about Jesus Christ? What does he believe about Jesus Christ? Because that's going to tell you everything immediately. What is this guy on the pulpit saying about Jesus Christ? The teachers who speak by the Holy Spirit will proclaim that Jesus has come in the flesh. True teachers will not only acknowledge, but they will confess the doctrine of the incarnation. They will confess and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the eternal Son of God, that he's the second person of the Trinity, that he's one with the Father, and they will confess that Jesus was both a human being with a physical body in the flesh, and he was also the divine Christ. He was the God-man. He is the Savior who died a substitutionary death as a man for the sins of other men, and this is the only way that we could be redeemed, that all those who are elect could see eternal life. That is what the pastor, the teacher, the minister, the preacher, whomever, however you want to call him, that comes from the Holy Spirit, that is what he's going to confess. That is what he's going to teach you. That is what he's going to believe. Now, in contrast to that, false teachers cannot make such confession. We also need to remember that these false teachers that John was refuting with this epistle taught that Jesus was just a man. He's just a random guy. And what they were teaching is that this Jesus was just a man that was chosen by God. And then at the moment of his baptism, Christ came down, indwelled him, and he was with him for a period of time. And when he died at the cross, right before he died at the cross, Christ left him and Jesus died a death like any other man. That's what they were teaching. So that is not confession of the person of Jesus Christ. So false teachers like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God incarnate. They do not believe this. They believe that Jesus was a created being. And what we have to remember also is that Satan will disguise falsehood as truth. So no matter how highly they speak about the Lord Jesus, if they deny or if they fail to mention on purpose that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, they are from the devil, from the spirit of the Antichrist, because that's not the confession of who Jesus said he is himself in the scriptures. He's not just a mere man. He is the God-man. He is the eternal Son of God. And these cults, they do not believe that. That is not what they teach, even though they speak very highly of the Lord Jesus. That is not a confession. That is a deceit. So Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, even Roman Catholics, they do not worship the same God that we worship. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics do not confess Jesus, the real Jesus. And those teachers who do not confess Jesus are not from God. There is no way around this. They are false teachers. They are teaching error. They are teaching heresy. They reject Christ because they belong to the spirit of the Antichrist. They're just acting according to their nature. A lion needs meat because that's what his nature tells him to. He could go and eat grass and he could go and eat, you know, leaves, but that is not his nature. He's not going to act upon that. He cannot. So are these false teachers. They just teach whatever is it that is in their nature, which is the spirit of the Antichrist and whatever he stands for. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is giving testimony of himself. He is the way. He is Yahweh. I am. He is the truth. He is the life. And there's only one path to heaven, and that is him, because no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He is God himself. And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 16 says, the one who listens to you, meaning the disciples, listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So these groups, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, they do not listen to the apostles. The apostles spoke very clearly in the scriptures about the person of Jesus Christ and his work. So they don't listen to him, and they rejected them. And if they reject the disciples, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject the Father. That's the chain of events. It is a very grave situation. Now, the early church knew about the Antichrist. They knew that the final Antichrist was coming. And here John tells them that he's already here. This is scary stuff. The spirit of the Antichrist is already roaming around. And the evidence of his presence was all these false religions, all these false teachers and their false doctrines that deny the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said before, unfortunately, these groups, these false teachers are around today. They exist today. They are everywhere, and Satan is behind all of them. And these false teachers are eloquent, and they are attractive, you know, to your eyes. And they're very persuasive, and they're very charismatic, and they're very everything, appealing. And they say what the people want to hear. That's what they're saying. They're giving you the candy that you desire. They are here to please Satan. They're not here to please God. So that's why they don't preach about sin. They don't preach about the real Jesus. What do you want to hear? Let me give it to you. Let me tell you. And you just keep on coming. You just stay with us. So it is only through the truth of the Word of God and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we'll be able to differentiate the truth from the error. And once again, we see the paramount importance of studying and knowing Scripture. I know I've said it many times, but this is what I need to do. It's just like my mom. Every time I hang up the phone with her, she says, take care of my grandchildren. As if that was ever, you know, like, not in, I mean, like, why would I take care of my own children? Well, she always tells me that. So I need to remind you once again, if you don't read Scripture, if you're in the Word constantly, you're not going to be able to discern that truth from the error. Your faith is not going to be strong. You are prone to stumble. You're prone to get hurt. So study your Bible. Read it. Be in the Word. Pray diligently. You need to. We need to. Verses 4 and 5 say, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. In this verse, John once again encourages his readers and us by reminding them that they are from God, that they are already victorious over these false teachers who tempted them with their false doctrines. He says, you are from God. You are partakers of the family of the Lord. And you have already been victorious over these false teachers. They came, they tempted you, and you didn't leave. You stayed put. And John also reminds them that the reason for their victory over these false teachers is not their own strength, of course. It's not their intellectual abilities. It's not their endurance. The reason for their victory over these false teachers had nothing to do with them and everything to do with God. It was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that was the enabler for them to resist these attempts from Satan to deceive them. It was God, as usual. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is God himself, and he is more powerful than any enemy, including Satan. He is the person responsible for the endurance of these guys. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the discernment that these people showed. So it is God who makes us victorious. It is only God who can give us this victory. It is not our efforts. It is not our abilities. We know that. We're completely unable to do it on our own strength. God had to do it for us. It's a gift. And that's exactly what he gave them and what he's giving us. And make no mistake, once again, Satan is very real. And I know that there are a lot of people that get uncomfortable at the word, but you need to know this. This is what the text says, and this is what I need to teach you. Satan does exist, and he's a terrifying opponent. He is the prince of this world, and the world is his domain. That's what the scriptures teach. And his purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's in John chapter 10, verse 10. He's not playing around. He is a very real and tremendous danger to each and every one of us. So we must never make the mistake to underestimate him or dismissing and much less ignore of the danger that him and his demons represent. They are here, they are active, and they are all around us. Especially in this time of the year, you can see all these things coming out, and it's really not a game. It's really not. You know, the worship of death and all these, you know, demonic things and these horror movies that you think they're innocuous, they're not. Because you're exposing yourself to things that you cannot unsee, to things that are disturbing, that should be disturbing. And this toying with it is it's a very dangerous game. However, we must not be weary. We should not fear, because John says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God himself lives inside every believer, and he's there to protect us. He's there to teach us. He's there to guide us, to lead us into the truth. He leads us into the right path that leads to the Father. He's always there to convict us and bring us back, even when we wander away, because remember, we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But the Spirit is always there to convict you from that mistake and pull you back to where you're supposed to go. The Spirit of God is always there, and he never leaves us. Never. He's always there. So that must be an encouragement, a tremendous encouragement for each and every one of us, but also the conviction. When we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and when we're not where we're supposed to be, the Spirit is there and he knows. Of course, God is omniscient. So that always has to be in the back of our minds. Then in verse 5, John speaks about the difference between those who teach error and those who teach the truth. False teachers belong to Satan. Their message is deceitful. And it is in line, of course, with the world system, because they're all part of one group. Therefore, their teachings are attractive to those who belong to the world and to those who belong to the evil one. They're speaking the same language. That's why the world listens to these false teachers. They're on the same page. They relate in every aspect. So that's why they're eating it up. And as I mentioned earlier, these false teachers are alive and well today. They are actively teaching false doctrines. Today, at this very moment in Dallas, Texas. So these false teachers teach what the world wants to hear, and the truth of the human soul and his destiny is not proclaimed, because it's just something that the world is not concerned about. I don't even know if I have a soul. We don't even know if there's a heaven or what happens in eternity, so we don't want to hear about that. That science hasn't proved any of that, so why would we care about it? So the world demands to be affirmed. The world wants to be recognized. They want to be praised. They don't want to hear about our inability, much less about sin or condemnation. Those are distasteful things. We don't want to be sorrowful. We want to be happy. Teach me how to be a better me. My best life now, because I'm alive now. That's what I want to hear. So this false teaching is very according to the times. And sometimes it would be, you know, a prosperity gospel. And sometimes it would be, you know, like a community gospel or whatever it is. These teachings change with the times, but what always has remained constant is this. This false gospel is a man-centered gospel. It is all about the human being. It is all about the human ability. It's all about the man's merit. It's all about salvation by works. It's what I can do for myself, what you should be doing in order to be better. It's all about you, baby. It's all about you. Look inside you. The change happens here. This is where it begins, with us. And that's not at all the true gospel. Because those who belong to the Lord have been given a supernatural understanding of the truth, a supernatural love for the Word of God, and we know that this is not what the Lord wants. This is not what the Lord says. Everything begins with God, not with ourselves. 1 Corinthians Chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 says that Christians have a supernatural discernment that protects us from this error. This is how we discern that what they are saying and what we read in scriptures are two different things. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 16 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." When we listen to the word of God, we respond because we belong to God. But there was a time in my life when the teaching of the scripture was really not convicting to me. It was like, it's just a book that someone read. It didn't mean anything. I did not belong to the Lord. And this is exactly what happens with the world. For them, this is foolishness. It's just a story. But for us, these are the words of life. So for us believers, we may be unsure of secondary matters. Is it premillennialism or amillennialism or postmillennialism? Which one is it? Are we going with infant baptism or other type of baptism? The tribulation, when is it going to happen, the rapture? Is it before, is it after tribulation, all these things? Those are secondary matters. But we must never, ever doubt about the essential truth of the gospel, which is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Because if you think that you're premillennial or amillennial, that is really not going to take you to heaven or not. But if you do not have your story straight about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will send you to hell. Everything else is just secondary, and they are important, but the most important is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvific. Everything else is not. Everything else that I mentioned, and there are many other things that are not salvific. It's only the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to have very clear in our thoughts. What you believe about him is going to be the deal maker or the deal breaker. Verse 6, we, meaning the apostles, are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, in contrast to those who teach a false gospel, those teachers who actually belong to God proclaim his revealed word, proclaim that the scriptures are the one and only source of truth. And genuine Christians, actual believers in Jesus Christ, they believe in the whole Bible. It's not just a piece here, a piece there, or just a little bit. No, it's all or nothing. Genuine believers believe in the whole Bible. We believe the apostles' teachings. Believers are not only welcoming these teachings, we also confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he's the eternal Son of God, that he's fully God and fully man, and that he came into this world in order to die for sinners. That's what believers do. That's what we believe. That's what we live by. And those who do not listen to the apostles, those who do not believe in the teachings of the scriptures, those who belong to the world, of course do not believe in the Bible. They do not think that this book is the inerrant word of God, and they don't do that. They don't believe it. They don't accept it. They refuse it because they don't belong to God. They are not from the Lord. Their true nature prevents them from believing in the scriptures. It prevents them from confessing the truth. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 47, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you're not of God. You're not mine. My sheep hear my voice, but if you're not my sheep, you don't hear it. You don't come when I call you. You're from a different shepherd." It's like a random woman calling you, say, a son, "Seth, come over here, darling." He's not going to go. That voice is strange to him. But if his mother actually calls him, he's going to be there in a whim. That's how this works. When the Lord calls, we know the voice of our Father. We recognize it immediately, and we attend to the calling. Those who do not attend to the calling is because they are not part of the family. That's what this is saying. There are many pseudo-Christians in the world today that believe in the idea that there's, if you think for a second that there's only one way to heaven, it's wrong. This is just too exclusive, and it's unacceptable. So there must be another way, more than one way to heaven. It's impossible that there's only one way. And there are others who believe that Jesus only paved the way to heaven, but it is up to us to decide whether we want to get there or not. Build half of the road, the next half is our responsibility. And then there are other believers, quote-unquote believers, that believe that Jesus died at the cross to pay for some of our sins, but it is up to us to finish the job. So the most heinous crimes that we have committed, those are paid, but those other lesser ones, we have to take responsibility. You pick up that tab. And there are other believers, or so-called believers, that think that the scriptures are outdated, and therefore they have no authority to condemn sins like homosexuality or abortion, because those things were culturally in the past, and now we are living in a different society. So those things are not valid anymore. It's outdated. And then there are others who think that there was a time when God was like us, and then in the future there will be a time when we will be like God is right now. And others believe that Jesus was a man, and he was very special, and he was very important, but he was not God incarnate. He was just a very special guy that was used mightily by God. And then the list goes on and on with these ideas that are half-truths with deception, and all these people have been deceived by a made-up gospel. They have been deceived by a gospel that is made up of false truths or half-truths or something that's similar to the truth but not quite. We have plenty of people in churches today thinking of all these things. And those who are not truly saved, those who wholeheartedly believe these things that I was describing to you, there's more than one way to heaven. This cannot be an exclusive gospel. It would be cruel to send someone to hell. I cannot believe in a God that condemns someone to the lake of fire. Those who actually believe in these things, they believe in those lies because they are not of God. That's what the Lord says himself. They are still lost and they need redemption. They may proclaim the truth, but they don't really know the truth. Because if they knew the truth, if they belonged to God, they would listen to his words and submit to them. And you have them chasing ghosts, and they want to pursue social justice, and they're fighting this fight against the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It is, however, the Lord says, he is the way, he is God, he dictates what goes and what doesn't. So there is only one way to heaven. There's only one Redeemer. There's only one way. There's only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name, Jesus Christ. So Christian must be always on the alert, always paying attention. We cannot believe everything we read or everything we hear just because it looks like or it sounds like Christian. We need to have discernment. The Lord Jesus himself gives us this warning in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 16. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. We always need to be checking that these sheep that are supposedly bringing a message from the Lord are actually speaking from the Lord, and they're not speaking deceit. So we must exercise biblical discernment to distinguish truth from error. John Stott put it like this: neither Christian believing nor Christian loving is to be indiscriminate. In particular, Christian faith is not to be mistaken for credulity. True faith examines its object before reposing confidence in it. I thought it was a marvelous quote. Just don't just believe things indiscriminately. Pay attention. Look at them at the light of Scripture. That's what we need to do. That's a responsible thing to do. However, if you still have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you still belong to the world. And you're dead in your transgressions, you're dead in your sins. And this book and this teaching is foolishness to you. It does not make any sense. However, it is not too late to flee from the wrath of God that is coming your way. Whether you believe it or not, one day you will have to bow your knee to the Lord and you will confess him because he's going to be right in front of you. And you will believe that he is because he's going to be addressing you by name face to face. But by then it's going to be too late. But right now, it's still not too late. The reality for you today is that you are guilty of your sins and that at the moment of your death, you will pay the penalty with your soul for each and every one of those sins that you have committed. And the pain and the suffering will never end. That is a terrifying reality. But as I said, there's no need to go through all that. Because our God is a merciful God, and he demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you're not a believer, you're here listening to this, or you're here, you know, listening to me speak, and you're shattered, you're distraught, and you're desperate for salvation. You're in desperate need for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need a redeemer. You need the forgiveness of your sins, because otherwise there will be hell to pay for that, literally. But Jesus said to sinners like you and me, when I was in distress, when I was shattered, when I was lost, which is your condition today, if you haven't believed in him, he said this. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. So if you are weary, if you are heavy laden, if you're lost, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's inviting you to do. Come to me and I'll give you the rest for your soul that you desperately need. And if you come to me, I will not cast you out. What other assurance do you need to come to the Lord? So you need to come to him today, because not one of us has guaranteed a tomorrow. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the conviction again to be reminded that we need to be in your word, that we need to be discerning of the messages that come our way, especially in these crazy times. Lord, we know that you are with us, but would you allow us to also be diligent in our studies, in our prayer life? There are people that depend on us, so Lord, would you impress that in our hearts so that we may actually have the desire to read your word and to pray as we ought. Lord, life gets busy and there are plenty of distractions, but would you please help us to make the effort and actually succeed in spending time with you in reading, meditation, and praying. Lord, would you also bless us as we're going back into the world? The temptations will come, the dangers are out there. Would you protect us from all that? Would you shield us from deceit? Lord, we ask you that if there's anyone listening to these words that has not trusted in Christ for the saving of their souls, would you open their hearts that they might believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and that they might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.